Welcome to Stopgap Talks, your go-to podcast for expert insights into the marketing, digital, creative, and research recruitment landscape. With over 30 years of experience, our consultants are here to share the wisdom, strategies, and success stories that can transform your hiring or career journey. If you enjoy the episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review to help others find us. Now let's dive in to the latest episode of Stopgap Talks.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Stopgap Talks. Today we're going to be talking about remote working. It's a topic that gathers a lot of interest in various communities. Specifically here, we're going to be focusing on the marketing sector. Today you're hearing myself, Lara Fisher-Jones. I specialise in roles within the research and insight sector. And I'm here with my colleague, John, who's going to give a brief intro.
Hi, I'm John Hunt. I deal with all the creative recruitment here at Stopgap.
Great, thanks, John. Firstly, it's probably worthwhile setting the scene as to where we are today, because it's been quite remarkable, the change in how we work over a very short period of time. So if we cast our minds back to 5 years ago, 2019, all of us, for the most part, were in the office most of the time. There were some outliers to that, but really, we were in the office, basically. Obviously, COVID happened, and it was quite a dramatic change from that previous scenario. We were all in the marketing industry, specifically, mostly working from home. And that was quite an interesting period of time. Lots of adjustments, companies having to set their employees up in a very short space of time in order to do that. But for the most part, I think all of us got on with it remarkably well. Then fast forward period post lockdown lifting, and there was that period of time where we were going back into the office. It was a bit hazy. Companies were trying to navigate what was the right way about it. There was still a bit of nervousness amongst some people about going into the office. But employees and employers worked together to get to a stage where, for the most part, people felt comfortable. And that's kind of where we're at now, for the most part, although there have recently, we've noted, been a lot of companies more strictly enforcing how many days in the office.
Yeah.
But essentially, that's where we are today. It's, for the most part, hybrid working, 2 or 3 days in the office. Don't know if you'd agree with that, John.
Yeah, I mean, you almost, when you spoke, talked it through then, you almost wondered why everyone wasn't back full time. You know, come now almost, because, yeah. But it doesn't seem to be the way life seems to have changed for good.
I agree. I really don't see companies asking
whatever,
people.
Not at all. And I think maybe the employees, the mindset has changed. The mindset has changed from both sides. But it'd be interesting to talk through the different things and the sort of advantages and disadvantages as we go along. So if we start off with, because, you know, people have, and there's plenty of people in the market, not plenty, but then certainly not, they would be the minority, I think, people that work remotely. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing we discussed before, wasn't it? That's often the case with freelancers and people on contracts.
Yeah.
That seems to be more prevalent that they are remote workers 100% of the time. I would say it's pretty minimal how many people are full-time permanent employees working remotely. I don't know what you think about that, but maybe I was thinking about, you know, IT programmers, for example, people with a certain skill set where, you know, collaboration and teamwork is not so high on the agenda. It's more getting their head down.
Yeah. I think within marketing, it is a rare beast that is fully remote.
Yeah,
I'm obviously a bit of an exception to that rule.
Well, you are, but that was another reason altogether. But you know, on the creative side, it happens. Yeah. You know, but again, more freelance, where it's project based, and they get a project done for 3 months.
Agreed.
They can do that remotely.
I mean, my freelance and contract community, for the most part, are working remotely, fully remotely.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if they're near an office, they are more than happy to go in.
Yeah.
But actually, quite a few of my contractors have moved. I mean, that was obviously a big thing.
And that's the other, I suppose that's the other thing, isn't it? People have moved location because they could work some distance from work remotely.
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
That's never going to change back. So if I talk about the advantages of to candidates of working remotely, they're fairly obvious. I mean, you know, that family life, you know, dropping kids at school and picking them up, that you've had more, the work-life balance has increased dramatically by that working remotely. You have no travel costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a big plus of that. People, I have to say, candidates tend to forget that when they talk about pay rises and all that kind of thing. But they, you know, if you work remotely, you're saving a lot of money on the travel side. You don't have the office distractions. You know, mm-hmm. you can sometimes go into the office and feels like you're not getting a huge amount done because you're catching up with people. Or you've got a couple of, you know, leadership meetings or whatever that might be. So I think at home, there's an argument to say it's a very focused day's work with very few distractions. Other people may argue there's more distractions at home. But, you know, it's potential that a day at home is a very efficient and focused day's work.
Exactly.
And you don't have that, you know... It's true. You don't have the tiring commute. Commuting is tiring.
Well, that's it. And I'm building on from that. That time that you save on the commute can be utilized for really good things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. An extra hour in bed if you have had a commute the last 2 days. But exercise, spending time with your partner, your children, your elderly parent. You know, you've just suddenly potentially got an extra couple of days, hours in your day.
I mean, as you say, you know, you can squeeze in a gym class before logging on at 8 o'clock rather than being on that train for that hour, hour and a half. But definitely. Disadvantages?
Disadvantages. Well, I have in capital letters because we hear this quite a lot, and I can relate to it as well, is the feelings of isolation.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Are your own little island, and it is tricky. And obviously, companies have borne that in mind, and there are various tools out there that you can utilise to feel more connected with your colleagues. And also, you can be setting up more time to interact with your colleagues or your colleagues interacting with you. So there are ways around it. But at the end of the day, you are in your room by yourself for extended periods of time. Following on from that, there's lots of good things from literally being physically present with your colleagues in the same space. And that's not just for the social element, which is a big thing, but also it's the water cooler moment. Water coolers have just been talked about constantly over the last few years. There's a lot of important things that obviously happen by water coolers, but that is one of them. And I'm talking specifically more about the chance chats you have with colleagues when you are getting your cup of tea, and it can lead in all sorts of different directions that are less easily enabled by you being behind a screen online. So collaboration, communication, all those things are perhaps missing by being fully remote. And also, it's just harder to be seen, and that does have an impact on people's career progression. It is tougher to make your abilities shown if you're literally, again,
less
behind
visible,
the screen.
Less visible.
Less visible, absolutely.
Less interaction.
Absolutely. And that's particularly the scenario, I think, with junior people. You know, if you're fully remote, how do you listen in to those conversations your more experienced colleagues are having and learn from them?
Well, I was going to sort of discuss that when we talk about being in the office full time. For the younger generation, particularly if it's first or second job, that learning and guidance and mentoring only happens in the office.
Exactly. And it's fine for us as more experienced people to be sat at home because we've had those 15, 10, many years sat in an office.
We ain't learning any more new tricks.
Exactly.
I think, you know, for the people, office work, particularly, and I think if you're talking about the I don't know what they call them these days, the Gen something or others, the 20-somethings who are starting their first job in London or Manchester or Leeds or Brighton, whatever it might be. They want to be in the office. They want to leave home, get out of the house, go to the office, experience city life and going out after work and getting to know their workmates and building those relationships, which should be lifelong relationships.
Exactly.
You know, those work relationships. And you cannot get that remotely.
Yeah, I agree entirely.
So,
and that kind of leads on to one of the other disadvantages which I had in mind, which is just the practicalities around working from home. Literally, do people have enough space? Do they? Is it free from distractions? And I think probably if you're younger, you might be sharing a house with others who may also be working. So just the practical elements, just getting yourself free from distractions on that basis. And I think there's also the element of when you're working remotely, do you ever truly switch off? Now, some people are better at this than others, but for some people, it can be a real issue. And they find their workday running for 12 hours rather than 8 or 9 because, I'll just check on that email. Did they get back to me? And then they find themselves down another.
Well, funnily enough, I certainly find it easier to get away from my desk when I'm in the office. As in, I will leave my desk for 45 minutes and go out of the office because I want to get out of the office. I'm at home, I end up hearing another email ping and I find myself that I haven't had a lunch break or any sort of break.
I agree. And the commute acts as a really good distancer between home and work. So you're missing out on that. So there are
there's also for the 100% remote side, there's some advantages for the client. You know, for certain sectors, certain companies, certain businesses that don't feel it's necessary to have an office, there's massive cost savings if you have a remote workforce. You also have access to UK-wide talent. You know, so I maybe refer back to let's say a IT programming language that is hard to find or expensive to find. You can hire the guy who lives in Scotland working remotely. You know, you have access to all of that talent, which makes life a lot easier for hiring and retention as well. Because you know, if someone's got a 5-day a week commute, you know, and they see a job paying the same money which is remote, it's a pretty simple decision for certain people. So it's attractive to candidates to have a company which has a remote workforce. So there's definitely some advantages of remote working for clients. A lot of clients wouldn't agree with a lot of those, but some would.
And there are disadvantages, obviously. I think one that hits the headlines an awful lot is this talk of culture. How do you successfully build positive culture when most or maybe all of your employees are spread far and wide? There are ways around that, but you could argue that is the number one thing that can be missing in a remote culture, in a remote working environment.
Yeah, and I think when we mentioned it before, that mentoring, that relationship building, guidance, training, culture, all of those good things don't happen.
Can be missing.
Which is a downside to candidates, to both the employers and the employees, right?
Absolutely. Applies to both. And I feel I'm going to talk about the water cooler again, basically.
Fax machine, isn't it? I thought it was a fax machine.
Do people use faxes? I don't know. Anyway, the water cooler moment, again, missing in a fully remote environment. And actually, remote working doesn't suit everyone. So if you as a client are set up in that way, then conversely, you could be missing out on a certain section of the employment market because they don't want to be fully remote.
I've got down here, you know, if we discuss conversely working in the office full time, which is the real challenge, you know, we have our clients, don't we, talking from a recruitment point of view. I certainly have clients who want staff 5 days a week in the office, and that is really challenging. Although I've placed people recently full time in the office, and They do tend to be a younger person.
Yes, going back to your earlier point.
Because they want to immerse themselves in work life and build those relationships and enjoy from that side. Talking about, let's say you've moved to London, having graduated from Loughborough, you know, London life.
Yeah.
You know,
you want part of it.
Getting on the tube, going to work, going out after work, whatever it might be. And the buzz and the atmosphere at work.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, coming back to your point about culture, but and the water cooler, of course. But yeah, I don't know what your thoughts are on full time in the office work, but that is a challenge.
For clients or for candidates?
Both.
For both, yeah. I mean, I'd say I've been focusing perhaps on the disadvantages. Well, I have been focusing on the disadvantages. And for candidates, obviously, there is quite a long list of time fully in the office. I mean, you referred earlier on to the cost expense of a full-time commute nowadays. Mm-hmm. The fact that the time taken, if we look at 5 days a week in a commute, which on average in London would probably be off fairly long.
It's got to be an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Door to door's got to be an hour.
Yeah, exactly. That's quite a significant chunk of your day. When perhaps you'd be rather doing something else. Mm. But there's also the stress factor, actually. I mean, you mentioned this earlier on, it is quite stressful commuting 5 days a week.
It's tiring.
It's really tiring. Yeah. I mean, as we all know, the transport system in this country cannot necessarily be relied upon. So that in itself can create stress. Actually, you're late in. It's like, oh, I've missed that meeting, etc. And if you are in the office full time, it can be a distracting environment and it can reflect perhaps the nature of the job, but certainly my pool of people, being research and insighters, they do often need that time, that quiet time to work through the data. What's the story telling us here? Mm-hmm. Pulling together a presentation. So that can be problematic in an office environment with all of the hubbub going on about you. And I know that in a larger company, you've probably got breakout spaces or quiet rooms to go and do that work.
Yeah.
But it is a distracting environment and you may well feel actually, oh gosh, I wish I could have a couple of days at home to get through these tasks.
Yeah. I mean, there's that, isn't there? And then you have I've got a client recruiting, you know, creative people for them. And they said, no, we're 100% in the office. You know, the speed of work, the collaboration, the communication, the quality of the work, efficiencies just isn't there when people work at home.
Yeah.
And they are black and white, 100% in the office.
Interesting. It's productivity.
Yeah, productivity. And it's, you know, slightly old school, you know, and the two guys that run the business are, you know, older school IT. They come from a tech background, and that's the way they like it. I've got a friend who works in the city, you know, financial services. They all went back to work full time after, you know, once lockdown was kind of over, and that was a big shock to the system, and they lost a lot of staff.
Yeah,
because people didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, but you could argue that actually, if they make that clear, then in terms of recruitment going forwards, you're either in for it or you're not. So, you know, they've had that difficult patch of losing people who didn't want to do it. But going forwards, you know, you sign up to that. Yeah. You know, it's clearly 5 days in the office.
I mean, I think the full time in the office, there would be certain organisations who I think the employees understand why.
And they
still want to do it, and they still want to go into the office. But I think it leads on nicely when we to hybrid, doesn't it? Which
although I was just going to talk about actually some disadvantages for clients in terms of full time in the office.
Yeah.
Obviously, costs. Office space is pretty expensive. Going back to some of your earlier points, it does make it harder for clients to recruit. Ultimately, you are automatically excluding certain sections of your potential workforce. You're probably
cutting out 50% at least of the candidate pool that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Who just it's a straight no.
Exactly. So I think you just need to bear that in mind, recruiting, that it's going to take you
longer.
And
logistically, let's be honest, if you're a client in West London, you know, you're not going to get the person who lives out in Essex or wherever. Logistically speaking,
exactly,
it becomes very hard.
Exactly.
Whereas even if you offer hybrid, for example, I was talking to you about my commute. You know, I wouldn't have done 2 days in Richmond from where I live now. Full time in the office in Richmond.
You are doing 2 days now.
It's 3 hours a day, but two days or even three I started doing. No, it's not a problem because it breaks it up nicely. But again, so you're cutting out so many candidates.
That's it. And not just for the travel, but also perhaps those with caring responsibilities, whether it be youngsters in the household or elderly people you're looking after. But
dogs?
I mean,
pets.
Oh, yes.
I mean, yes. I get that
more often.
Most people
have dogs.
I get it more, pets mentioned more often than...
Yes, that's very true.
Is there any flexibility? Because I've just got a dog, you know, and it's a serious thing.
It is a serious thing, absolutely. All those people are looking for a hybrid model, basically. But also, I think clients need to be aware that retaining staff is a bit more problematic when you have got 5 days in the office, and also you need to be more in tune with their well-being. I think.
And you know, when all their people. When they're in the minority, and it's got to be a pretty small minority full time in the office, people that you know, and they're bumping into friends and family and old colleagues who have got a lovely balance of the hybrid working, and you know, unless they love their job and really love the commute,
yes, you it's know, a feasible commute. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, there are people that really enjoy it. All of the above. But generally, when you come back to the hybrid model, you know, it works for both everyone.
Yeah.
You know, the employer, the employees, you get that balance of work life. You get the office time and the interaction with colleagues and the collaboration and building those relationships that are so important. And you get the flexibility of working from home, and maybe that's gym, maybe that's family, maybe that's children, but it's the balance which works.
It really is, and I was trying to think through any disadvantages of the hybrid model, and in all honesty, I'm struggling. I mean, somewhere where I got to my thinking is that potentially in some companies you've got people who are in the office more frequently and those who aren't. And for those who aren't, they may only be, say, in one day a week. Where does it leave them if they are less visible? Perhaps it goes back to some of the points we were making about being remote. You know, how do you show your presence when you are in less frequent than the others? Does that make an impact on progression? Are you seen as less serious an employee because you're only...
That's a good point. I mean, you know, there's people in our work, aren't they, who live very nearby, who might come in three
Not
or four days
day.
Because
yeah.
it because it works. They like it's all set up there, and someone else who might do once a week. You know, it's a different. You know, in terms of what was the point you made? I suppose
your impact. How do you have as much
impact when and visibility and influence in the business?
Yes,
And missing out on information.
Yeah,
that's been talked about around the water cooler.
Yeah.
You know, so something that you might
something
be.
That...
Yeah, some. I mean, we've got there's lots of important things going on in most businesses, and they're discussed in the office.
Yeah, and it may not be a programmed time to chat about them as well. It just may happen on the hoof. And if you're not...
Yeah, osmosis. You know, osmosis in the office. And
Exactly. So for hybrid, it is something to be borne in mind. And it's for both candidate and client, but perhaps more on the client side. They need to bear that in mind, that they need to adjust their level of communication accordingly. I mean, the other very practical point on hybrid working is office space. essentially being only half utilized. But I've got a lovely example of a client that we work with who has set up an office share, basically. So they have the office 2 days a week. Another company, unrelated, non-marketing related company, have the office the other 3 days a week. So there are absolutely ways to address this issue going forwards.
And I'm sure there's a lot of businesses where they've managed to have that balance, which has worked really well. I've got a client which it took a WeWork, so it got rid of their offices, and it takes a WeWork for 2 days a week. So they've cut their costs and save money that way. But I think and also the point we mentioned before was the what we call NITO, not in the office. So it's that flexibility we've been given, and it happens more and more where if you are working hybrid and you're due in twice a week, you can have – we have 6 weeks, don't we? 6 weeks where we can work from anywhere in the world, in theory, so long as we can do our job, which is a lovely extra benefit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got a number of clients who offer that, and people very actively take it up, you know, whether they've got family who live overseas. And this is enabling them to spend more time rather than a brief 1 or 2 week visit. So very powerful.
And it comes back to, you know, what we now knew as hybrid. Is it now flexible working? We've now got, you know, employers who realise that they need to retain their staff and do as much as they can for their staff members in the modern world, which has changed dramatically.
I mean, we talked about earlier what people actually want going forwards, and I think probably more of the same. Flexibility.
I mean, moving forward, where are we going to be in? Yeah, there's all sorts of you can talk to the cows come home. I've got as a school of thought that people are going to be wanting to get back in the office more often, or employers are going to want to get their staff back in the office more often. I've heard it a few times. I've had a few clients that are going that way. But at the same time, there's the majority, a large majority, which are actually thinking about other benefits they can give their staff in terms of flexible working. For the retention viewpoint.
I've got very few clients who are moving to 5 days a week in the office. Right. Very few indeed. In fact, some of them are struggling to go from 2 days in the office to three.
They would do.
Yeah.
But I think probably what's happening is maybe a little bit vague or flexible for different staff members. Companies are probably wanting to get it set in stone.
Yeah.
What it is. This is what we expect. This is what
exactly. Because when you get an outlier, it can cause issues.
Yeah. And someone lives a bit further away, and they've been in the company for 10 years, and they get and suddenly someone else finds out, and
exactly.
So some clarity is probably required, and I think companies are probably doing that. I mean, I think one point I'd like to make is that I think both the employer and the employee, or in our case in recruitment, the client and the candidate, they can both have their points of view. They can both say, this is what we offer, and the candidate can say, that's not what I want. I want this. But I think, and obviously they're both entitled to that opinion and that viewpoint, but particularly in this market where a lot of people are out of work, it does surprise me when you've got someone who is not in work refusing to go into the office and saying, I want to work remotely. If they physically can, you know, they've got a train station, they've got a car, and they just say, no, I want to work remotely. I do find that attitude surprising at times. That's all surprising.
As you say, in the current climate, flexibility is required.
If I was a candidate, and the first question I ask wouldn't, I'll get candidates, what are the working hours? is the first question they ask. And I'm, hold on a minute. Well, they're your working hours are standard these days. They might, they're going to have their nuances, but they're pretty standard. And if that's your first question, you've already worried me. But anyway.
I have to agree.
I mean,
that's
I think
a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. I think candidates need to keep an open mind.
Yeah.
You know, and look at the opportunity rather than all of those things surrounding remote or hybrid, or, you know, how far is it to work and where are they based? Yeah. Look at the opportunity.
That's it. And
keep
the full
an open
picture.
Mind.
Look at the full picture. What is this offering me in the widest sense?
Yes.
And is it enough to enable me to do 2 or 3 days or whatever it may be?
I mean, I think moving forward, the hybrid model is absolutely here to stay.
I think it is, absolutely.
There'll always be some remote stuff, and there's always going to be companies that want their staff full time in the office. But I don't think it's. I think the majority will be hybrid working in some form, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree entirely. It's a very good thing for all sorts of reasons.
And you know, companies and employees will work out what works for them and what they're prepared to do and what they're not prepared to do. But generally speaking, the model works pretty well for both parties.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, as we've alluded to, it is part of the wider conversation in terms of flexible working, which is another topic entirely.
Yeah.
But remote working fits within that bigger picture. And there are lots of other levers that employers can utilise and pull to provide, you know, a really attractive offer to candidates.
Yeah.